We start a new series called Jesus Said What? I say it that way. That's the way you're supposed to read it. So every time you read it, just think of that. Jesus said what? All right. A little higher pitched maybe. Jesus said what? It's our new series, our last series. If you didn't get to hear it, you can go on to online to our website and check it out. Every series we do, every sermon we do is online for you to hear. So when I was a kid, we all have our hobbies when we're kids, right? One of my things was collecting cards. Of course, this is prior to the digital age. I think the only digital thing I had as a kid was a digi guy. And you, I don't remember what it's called. Digipet. Anyways, you basically build them up, make them stronger, and then you connect them with others, and then they fight and all this thing. That was as far as the digital went. So when I was a kid, collecting cards was huge, right? It wasn't just baseball cards. It was all cards, basketball cards, things like that. And so I lived on a cul-de-sac, and I had a couple friends that were my age on the cul-de-sac, right? And so we would collect cards. And the funny thing was, when you're a kid, especially in that time, at my age of being a kid, you didn't really have any money, but that was like currency. The baseball cards were like currency because they had value. You could probably get money for them. Maybe not. I don't know. We had this big book that told us how much they were worth. And so we instantly to us, they're, oh, that much. We could go buy a scooter with this or something like that. So what our friends would do is that every once in a while, when we got tired of playing basketball or playing in the dirt, we would get our trapper keepers full of trapper keepers, if you know. Okay, never mind. Some of you are too young for that. our trapper keepers would hold all our cards, and we'd sit down, and then we'd barter with each other, and we'd trade and stuff like that. And being a kid, and I know you've experienced this, a lot of teasing happens, right? A lot of making fun happens, right? And so if you had better cards, you'd end up making fun of the person that, you know, it's almost laughed it off. Oh, you want to trade what? No, I don't think so. Over time, this built up and this built up. And there's this one friend that I had who didn't take teasing very well, right? And so my words were a little more cutting. I was a nice kid, but sometimes I still do it today. I joke too much. I'll get too sarcastic and things like that. And so there's this one time I specifically remember because it was weird and it was scary and all this stuff. So I remember I'm in this friend's backyard, right? And we have our cards out and we're trading. And there's this one card he always wanted from me, and it was a Michael Jordan card. Right, and so I'm sure I said something. I agged him on some way, some words that I used. He ends up taking the card out, right, and then he runs around the pool with it. Okay, remember we're kids. All right, I know this is kiddie stuff, but anyway, so he runs around the pool, and I'm like, dude, stop. You know, that's a lot of value to me. No, stop. And so I'm getting pumped up. I'm getting heated, and of course, there's some jealousy inside of him, and what I'm saying to him, he doesn't like. And then he gets to the point where he's like, oh, I'm going to drop it. You know, I'm gonna drop it in the pool. And I think what I said, quit being an idiot or something like that, something real mean to him. And it was like he almost forgot that he was balancing over the pool when I said that, but it would just cut him just enough where he fell in. And I remember it was like in slow motion just watching him splash, like my card and everything all in the water got ruined. And it was a good lesson for me how to be diplomatic with my words in the moment and how I use them, because if I would have used them correctly, I probably could have got my card back, but then it was lost forever. It was a hard lesson to learn. It's funny how the power of our words, they carry a lot of weight. In that moment, Brian, if you don't know Brian Regan, he's a comedian. He makes a joke, and it's very true, and I feel this way sometimes in my life when I say something. He said it's like a flock of seagulls that come out of your mouth, and it's kind of like, oh, I can't catch them. You know, you can never get them back into your mouth because they're gone. They're away. They're seagulls. It's in the space. It's out there. And there was a movie that also reminded me of Liar, Liar. You ever watch Liar, Liar? One of my favorite movies. Jim Carrey was my favorite character growing up because I just liked to laugh. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a comedian. When I grew up, I used to tell my mom that. I don't know if I would have made any more money than I am now being a pastor, but anyways, but I love to make people laugh, and I love that. And so I love that movie, Liar, Liar, and the ending, the what it came down to was actually a great lesson that your words matter more than you think, whether you're telling the truth or not. And could you imagine in your life if everything that came to your mind that you had to say Could you imagine where you would be? So many people are looking at it like, oh man, you don't want to see that. Some of you have a really thick filter. Some is not so thick, letting a lot through. Imagine if everybody was doing that. If everybody was just firing off, first thing that popped in their head, right? It wouldn't normally be a problem, but we're such jerks on the inside. That's what makes it a problem. That's what makes it such a big thing. And so we begin to realize as we grow through hard lessons that our words matter. They carry weight. And it's not so much the words in general, it's what's behind the words. Because I don't know if you've ever, I forgive me if this offends anybody, if you ever met somebody with Tourette's, like, and they have a cussing problem, it's usually, it makes no sense, right? It's just they're throwing out a bunch of cuss words. And it doesn't mean anything to you, right? But when someone takes a curse word and they direct it at you with some passion and they mean it, then it all of a sudden hurts. Then it means something. Over time, new curse words develop, new hateful ways to say things happen, but it's never really the word. It could be any phrasing, any group of letters. It's the passion that behind it that makes it matter. It's what's behind the words that really carries the weight. And so, especially if you're married, you've learned that your words carry weight. Because it's not like a friendship. You know, you see a friend only so many minutes a day, and they might have forgotten what you said the next day or whatever. When you live with someone and you sleep next to them, they don't forget. Your words carry weight. They last. And whether you're the one, you're the victim or you're the victimizer, I've always been the victimizer. Hannah's always been the victim. She's never said anything like that to me. But you learn in relationships that it really carries weight, and it will change the direction of somebody's life. I was really cool. I'm so glad that the video was showed, and it actually ties to what I was talking about, because she asked the girl, what do they say about you? And you could see this destruction in her face as she began to recount of what happened to her, what they said about her, and how it's not that she can blame those people for where she is, because she chose her actions, but it definitely played a part. Jesus addresses this thing. See, this isn't a new human condition. It's a human condition that has been a part for a long time. As long as people have been selfish and they've been mean, it has existed. And so Jesus actually addresses this, and this is where we get into our, Jesus said, what? In Matthew 12:34, he said, you brood of vipers. Okay, I'll elaborate. But at first, I want to stay on there for a minute. You brood of vipers. Jesus said, what? Yes, Jesus was name calling. Yes. In that time, in the text, vipers, calling someone a viper is actually used about four times. Not, I think another time by Jesus, then a couple of times by the apostles. They kind of caught on to his slang word. He's calling people vipers. And it was kind of a curse word. It was kind of like in your face. You know, this is what it is. Why did he do that? Now, in me telling you this, this is not the okay for you to go name calling, all right? I'm not telling you to go out there and start putting people in their place and call me. You, if you're Jesus, you can do it, all right? So be perfect. And you can start name calling, okay? I'll go ahead. But until then, reserve your name calling. Keep it to yourself. But don't miss why. I'm gonna read in more into context, but don't miss why he calls them vipers. In Matthew 12:33-37, if you have your Bibles, you want to write this down. Again, it's Matthew 12:33-37. He said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus is shedding some great light on a serious human condition. This is a big thing in people. He wants to show us that your words carry more weight than what you think. And in this portion of Scripture, and I just want to point something out, and if you've grown up in church, you've used this Scripture. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And now I've done this before, and it's okay if you have, but we've kind of misused this portion of Scripture, this sentence. We look at somebody, and they do something bad, and they're like, oh, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. They're a bad person, right? We've done this. We've all done this. We're using it in the wrong way it was meant to be used. Because Jesus didn't give us that to tell us, hey, look at other people and find out if they're bad by what they're saying. Because everybody is bad on the inside. We're all sinful. We all have something going on in our hearts that keep us from, you know, good stuff, having good fruit and what he's talking about there. So what is the question of what's in our hearts? So stop using it for that, please. Don't use that anymore. It's more of an inspection of yourself. That's what Jesus really is calling for the people to do when he's talking to them right now in this moment. See, people have a choice. This bear fruit or bear bad fruit. See, in this time when trees, they use the nouns of trees a lot, it's not like today. You don't go to the grocery store and you pick out the perfect apple, the perfect bunch. They would have loved that in that time. They didn't have that. They didn't have the produce stores. They might have had a couple of carts sharing some things, selling some goods. But for the most part, it was they went to trees, actual trees, and plucked their fruit. So what a tree was made of or where it was planted really mattered, because they didn't want bad fruit. They wanted good fruit, because if they had bad fruit, that means that they get sick or whatever, or they get hurt or they die or whatever it may be. They wanted good fruit. So you had a choice. You have a choice as a human. What fruit are you going to produce? Jesus wants us to look on the inside, because what's on the outside is what you're able to give people. Through your words, are you giving them good fruit? Are you giving them something positive to work with in their life? And Jesus wanted to point this out. It's a challenge from Jesus to evaluate what's going on. He gives us an easy measurement tool to say, what are you letting out inside of you? What is conquering the inside of you? We go through those moments in our life where we realize, man, I'm just letting the enemy win. I'm letting it overtake me. And there's so much negativity in me that it's just spewing out into other people. Remember, why did he call them vipers? What does a viper do? It bites you. It poisons you. What does poison do? Some poison works faster than others, but ultimately it's meant to degrade you from the inside out. It's meant to hurt you. So the words that we use can be venom if we let it, and it can hurt other people. It can hurt them from the inside out. And then furthermore, at the end, he puts even more weight on it. He gives you, this has an eternal, every careless word you say. Now, if somebody's not Christian, if they don't have a belief system of some sort, they don't have any accountability, right? And so they'll say whatever they want to say. They'll say, you know, whatever curse word, whatever. And we can't really be mad at them for it, because they don't have any basis. We can't have any responsibility there. But as Christians, we have a basis of belief. And Jesus is telling this, hey, your words matter, even the careless ones. So there's a responsibility there to what's in us. So in this time, with the Pharisees and things like that, there was a lot of negativity towards people. There was a lot of, hey, you're evil. Hey, you're bad. There's something wrong with you. You're not doing right. There's a constant that. And so it was like venom. And they would gang together, become a brood of vipers that would be hurting people. It's a scary thought knowing that. Because, man, I read that, and I'm instantly like, oh, what stupid things did I say yesterday, right? What careless words did I let out? But if you look at it from a different perspective, what power has God given me? What power has Jesus given me? Because if you can hurt people and it can be a negative effect in a bad way, that means in the other direction it can be a very positive effect, in a very positive way. And you can truly change somebody's life by the words that you use. So it comes with a responsibility. So I'm asking you today, what does your fruit look like? What does your fruit look like in your life? What about the relationships that you have at your office? Are you constantly spouting negativity in your family? Are you constantly saying what they're doing wrong? As a father, I have to remind myself that I can't always tell Gage when he's doing something wrong. I got to celebrate the good stuff too. It comes hard at times, especially at the age that he is right now, when it's like you get really frustrated. But if I just continually just give him bad reviews, he'll begin to think that he's bad, that there's something wrong with him. I have to remind myself, I got to celebrate the good stuff. More celebration than the bad. That way, he has the positive in him. I'm not putting venom into his heart. So I have a challenge for you, okay? This is not a fun challenge. Usually it's not fun when I say I have a challenge for you, just so you know. I want you to evaluate your relationships. Really think about the words that you're saying. I mean, I'm not down to like a one-on-one. Like you're talking to somebody, and in the midst of a conversation, evaluate, are you sending them off with something good? Or are you sending them off with something bad? Now, I'm not saying don't talk about, I mean, there's times when you got to talk about stuff, right? Something comes up, you got to be real with somebody, you got to have the rough conversation. That's good. That needs to happen because we can't reform, we can't be better without that stuff. But are you only leaving them with the negative? Are you ending it with the positive? What are you sending them with? Because if it's only negative, it turns to poison. And all they can think about when they've left you is what they've done wrong. Does your presence and the words that you say leave them encouraged? And here's the real challenge. Ask them. I want you to ask them. Find somebody in your life, or it could be everybody in your life. Stand before them and say, what's it like being on the other side of me? Is it good? Is it bad? Do I leave you encouraged? And be honest. Be honest with me. What's it look like? And that is a hard question to ask. It is, because you don't want to hear the answer. Because we always paint ourselves, in our minds, we paint ourselves to be better than what we really are. And that's okay, it's all right, but then we also paint other people to be worse than they are. We need the balance. We need it there. We need some honesty. So ask them, what does it look like being on the other side of me? And as a church, so as together, right? So we are built up of people, okay? And so as we internally choose to bear good fruit, and if we do that as a group, Village Heights will bear good fruit. And we're brand new to the community. I mean, we're only a couple, 6 months, 7 months old. We're still in the design of who we are. We're still trying to, hey, let's meet, let's date the Heights. Let's get to know each other, right? And so in this moment, it's crucial how we treat people. It's crucial how we are exposed to the community and how we act to them, because they won't forget some of the things that we do. And we've all have, if you've grown up a Christian, you've been a part of some kind of group or some kind of gathering of believers that rather than encouraging, it was a brood of vipers. Yeah, you're all remembering the brood of vipers, that encounter that you had. And it either took you out of church, you didn't want anything to do with it, or it propelled you to say, hey, I'm going to fight against this, and I'm going to turn the tables. I grew up in three churches that I grew up in all failed to immorality, all of them. Crazy, right? All kinds of gossip happening, all kinds of stuff. I knew more about the gossip than I did about Jesus by the time I ended up being there. Because it was a brood of vipers, venomous people just spreading things. And that encouraged me to plant a church, to change the tide. How am I gonna make it better? I can't just push it away. I can't just push it aside, because that's not going to do anything. That's just going to keep getting worse. What I can do is challenge the culture of church. I can go out there and I say, hey, community, what's it like being on the other side of us? What's it look like to see Village Heights? That's a hard question to ask. Some people say, who? I don't know. Because we're so new. But then there's people that we meet, and a couple of weeks ago, Hannah and I went to a birthday party, and it was someone in the community that we've been building a relationship with, and it was a very enlightening moment because they told us, they pulled us aside, made a point to do this. We didn't ask them. Yeah. And they said, you don't know the effect that you're having in our community right now. There are people that would never go to church that are actually considering it. Now, it doesn't translate maybe to a Sunday morning, but it might someday. And it's worth doing. And that's, if they don't come on a Sunday, that's okay. But if they're knowing Jesus, that is where it matters. This is only numbers here and people coming. That's just to boost our egos, make us feel prideful, and make us, you know, put in a direction of where we're going to help cast vision. But what it really matters, are we being Jesus to this community? I'd be okay if we never grew, we never did anything like that. I'm always going to be trying. But I'd be okay if we did it, if I knew that we were having a lasting impact in the community. We were changing what people thought of church culture. But that begins with us. That begins with us individually. When you come to Village Heights or you represent Village Heights, you have to make a choice inside of yourself. What are you going to bear? Am I going to give in to the dark side? Or am I going to pursue the light? Am I going to be positive and open to people? So like I said, when you walk out these doors, you represent first Jesus and second Village Heights. And not to say that in a condemning way of how dare you do something. I know you're human. I mess up all the time. I always say stupid stuff. No, that kind of thing. I'm not asking to be perfect. What I'm asking is, are you giving good fruit to this community? And if we keep doing this, we keep it going over and over, people will get a taste for it. They'll get the good fruit. They'll try it, and they'll say, man, I don't know where that has grown, but I want to go see it. And we get to adopt them into our family. So that's my challenge. One, go ask people. What's it like being on the other side of me? It's a hard thing to do, I know. But do it. Try it. Start with your spouse first, if you're married. That's the hard one, yes. Because you know it's coming. they might have been telling you, and you just haven't been listening. It's usually my problem. Go ask them. Let's evaluate ourselves, okay? Because the careless words that you say have an eternal impact, a lasting impact. And then as a church, when you leave here, you're representing Village Heights. And let's put our best fruit forward. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this awesome group of people. Lord, I thank you for this mission that you put us on. God, the mission might be the same from ministry to ministry, Lord, but the community is unique. Lord, and as we develop and as we grow and as we try to focus on you and bringing you to this community, Lord, bless our efforts, God. Lord, show us new ways. Help us be creative in producing good fruit and how this community needs to receive it. Lord, you're an awesome God who loves us despite the evil that is inside of us, despite the selfishness, despite that we are just jerks on the inside, God. Despite that, you still love us and still want to use us for your good and your glory. So today, as a group, Lord, we decide to bear good fruit in your name. We decide to do that and push away the bad fruit and try to trim it off. And Lord, if there's something growing inside of us that's only producing bad fruit, Lord, I pray that we have the courage, we have the vulnerability to be able to uproot it and get it out of our lives. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much. Lord, and as we go, I pray that you protect us, Lord, and give us opportunities to share our fruit with others. Lord, we love you. Amen.